This is Schooled in AI, a Search CIO podcast about artificial intelligence and academia. In this series, professors at Carnegie Mellon University's School of Computer Science talk about the cutting-edge AI technology they're working on and how CIOs can prepare for the future of AI in the enterprise. Hey, I'm Nicole Laskowski. This is Schooled in AI. Ken Kadinger began a seminar he was giving at Harvard University like this.
Sometimes I ask audiences, actually I'd be interested to know, do you know when you're learning?
Just a quick aside, the audio you're hearing is courtesy of the Harvard Institute for Applied Computational Science and the Harvard John A. Paulson School of Engineering and Applied Sciences. Okay, so?
Do you know when you're learning?
Looks like a 50-50 split among attendees just based on a show of hands. And Kadinger said that's a pretty typical response. But the question he poses, it does a couple of things. It sets the stage for the rest of his talk, sure, and it raises a fundamental quandary about learning, whether it's humans doing the learning or it's machines.
Much of what we feel like are indicators of learning are illusions.
Kadinger is a professor of human-computer interaction and psychology at Carnegie Mellon University, and he may best be known for developing what's called cognitive tutor software. So this is software that relies on machine learning to essentially guide and personalize student instruction.
It's a subjective experience that feels like you know yourself, right? You know yourself. You see what's in front of you, right?
After I saw his lunch seminar at Harvard, I invited him to be a guest on this podcast.
Neither of those are true. You don't see what's in front of you. Your brain's actually making up a good share of what's in front of you.
Because comments like this one made me wonder, if we don't know how we learn, can we really build machines that learn like we do? That's one of the things Kadinger is trying to do, to build models that learn how to master tasks the way that we do. And here's the thing. When the models are successful, and they have seen some success, and it's taken a lot of work to get there, they not only give researchers insight into how humans learn, they also give researchers insight into where learning breaks down.
Well, it's challenging for sure. You know, I think as far as questions on the scientific frontier, we probably know more about the universe than we know about our brains, particularly when it comes to questions of like how the heck are humans able to learn complex things like algebra, calculus, you know, chemistry, to be an engineer, to write a poem.
So there's one estimate out there, I think this one was made famous by Malcolm Gladwell, that suggests it can take 10 years to master a skill. And a part of Kadinger's research, it could help uncover how a human can become an expert at something.
One way to make it easier, you know, this is sort of science in general tries to slow things down and look closely. So, you know, we try to capture data and look at it closely.
Kadinger is using a kind of AI model to generate that data. He calls the models synthetic students or simulated students, sometimes sim students. And before we get into what that is, let me explain why I think CIOs should know about his work. So IT departments and companies in general, they're in the midst of a skills crisis, and it doesn't appear to be going away anytime soon. And rather than companies having to hire their way out of these talent shortages, software like this could provide training for employees to step into a new role and to, you know, kind of modernize the workforce. That's my pitch anyways. Okay, so let's get back to Kadinger.
A synthetic student is a simulation of human student capabilities.
Okay, so we're going to look at algebra, which I know is an education example and not an enterprise example, but I think by talking this through, you're going to see the bigger picture. Okay, so an algebra instructor might start by teaching students how to solve simple problems, showing them how to do that, and then asking those students to solve simple problems on their own. And these students are given feedback along the way. And as the students master a certain level of difficulty, they move on and the cycle repeats itself. Kadinger simulates this process in computers.
We give it problems. It says, I don't know what to do. We show it what to do. It starts doing stuff. We say yes or no. And from that emergence in the system, competence to, in whatever domain we're tutoring the computer, the simulated student or synthetic student.
These synthetic students can provide a window into the bigger kind of theoretical questions. How do students learn? But they also help shed light on more practical questions like this one.
Where does learning break down? Why do some students get stuck along the way when they're trying to, say, learn to program or even become a good counselor, let's say? And there are various techniques, empirical techniques, to try to figure out where those sticking points are. But what we've discovered is that in addition to those techniques, if we try to make these learning algorithms and they get stuck in certain points, we can look inside.
Kadinger doesn't need like a brain imaging device to, you know, look inside a person's head, see what's going on. Instead, he can analyze the model and focus on where it had trouble.
In many cases, we can later confirm with real students that it's having trouble because that's just hard part of learning in the domain. We didn't know that. We weren't teaching towards it. But now we can. And now the experience for real students is going to be better.
Kadinger refers to synthetic students as cognitive crash test dummies that show teachers whether the instruction is working or not and
where is it going smoothly and where is the analog of a crash, right, where the instruction just isn't working.
He builds synthetic students using a mix of machine learning techniques. They include more old school machine learning techniques, which are based on more symbolic or logical kinds of structures, as well as more modern day machine learning techniques, such as deep neural networks, which are more statistically oriented.
Essentially, what we found is that if we want to model human learning, we got to bring these things together. We have to have more logical learning mechanisms as well as more statistical learning mechanisms.
Kadinger describes sim students or synthetic students as having four different learning subproblems.
There's how learning, there's where learning, there's when learning, and there's what learning. And in each case, we do something slightly different. The what learning is closer to like deep learning neural net. Probabilistic grammar learning is one of the technical approaches we use for learning the representation of your domain.
So for each of these subproblems, Kadinger and his team use a different machine learning algorithm, sometimes multiple machine learning algorithms. And while they're not focused on developing those algorithms, here's what they are focused on.
We've been focusing more on developing an architecture that brings algorithms together. And so I think a lot of machine learning is solving simpler, like they're often called classification tasks, you know, like label this picture. But to, I've been using algebra as one example. That's not a labeling thing. You really have to construct the next step. We've applied it in English grammar where there's some constructive capabilities. That's the how part of the learning mechanism. A chemistry domain we've done this in. So, yeah, we really have to extend beyond the sort of typical statistical classification approach to machine learning. But we're often doing that by combining multiple methods and innovating in that sense. But at the same time, we're building on the shoulders of other machine learning work out there.
One method is called transfer learning. And this is where knowledge accumulated in one area, such as algebra, can be applied to an area that isn't algebra.
If you want to build an agent that's going to, say, sit on your phone and help you do various tasks, like you can teach it how to, you know, order a cappuccino from Starbucks online app, you don't want to have to then teach it again for a latte. And better yet, if you go to another, say, food app and want to teach it to, you know, order a pizza, you'd hope that it would transfer some of what you taught it about ordering a latte to ordering a pizza in this other application domain.
Building these kind of synthetic students, though, you know, it's not something the typical developer could take on. And that was a reality that Kadinger and his team, they had to come to terms with.
In the early years, like when we first got out our high school math, spun out a company, Carnegie Learning here, we were building those AI systems, you know, by programming them, you know, writing the rules in the, quote, expert system. But, what, you know, what we recognized is to scale that kind of technology would be great if more non-AI programmers could be engaged in building an intelligent tutor.
So they developed a new product. It's called Cognitive Tutor Authoring Tools. And these tools are designed to enable developers with limited AI programming experience to build an intelligent tutoring system, a machine that can essentially teach to a specific task.
The human expert can teach the computer, the simulated student, how to do it. And now the computer is the expert who can teach others how to do it, right? Many others. And do it in a highly interactive way.
Kadinger called this the grand vision. That is a direct quote. And he's starting to see some of that vision play out.
And we have instances of that now that are beginning to work in real time and in real world applications at the K-12, higher ed, and in training settings.
Next on Schooled in AI.
The way that I define this kind of theme of AI for social good is that we can use AI to help the government agencies or the non-government agencies who are aiming to kind of serve the people.
Dr. Fei Feng and I will talk about the rise of AI for social good.